listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast, the number one self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coasters.
Hi, my name is Peter Zion. I'm the owner of Alesmith Brewing Company here in beautiful San Diego, and Beer Coasters rocks.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coasters.
Blah, 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 I'm a beer, damn it!
And welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, episode 327, season 9, episode 4. An entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast and every once in a while in between. And every once in a while, we go back to the future. But in this case, we're going beer to the future. That's right. Make sure you stop by thebeercoasterspodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show for free in iTunes and Stitcher. And if you are enjoying the show and would like to support us, stop by patreon.com/beercoasterspodcast to pledge your support. I am your host, Beer Coaster Tony, and joining me is...
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And this is Toby in San Diego, California.
So we try to come up with different themes and how we want to, you know, review various beers. And we had kind of come together and said, well, what about all the beers that we used to drink way back in the day? So we had the idea to go back, way back, like November 5th, like 1955, way back. That's, I mean, I don't know what, I can't remember that day. I think I was negative...
Lots of years.
35? I don't know. Lots of years.
You were so... you were so... thin.
So, we're going to pay homage to some of the beers that we had back in the day and to see kind of how it stacks up with all the different beers that we've had now. You know, there's all these new IPAs and lagers and different brewing, you know, ingredients and stuff. So, let's just... put all that away and actually go back to some of the original beers. So,
craft classics, if you will.
Craft classics. I like it. That's a good one.
And these, all three of these beers that we're trying on the show have been on previous episodes of the Beer Coasters Podcast. So this will be fun to kind of look back and see what we thought of them then and how we feel about them now and how our palates have changed and all that.
Nice. Absolutely. So I guess we can... we can go around and mention the beers that we're going to be reviewing, and then we'll get into it. So, Mike, I think you're going to kick us off, but what beer are you going to be reviewing for us?
Yeah, this is from a local brewery here in a small town of Boston, Massachusetts. It's the Boston Beer Company, Samuel Adams Boston Lager.
Oldie
they're brewers, they're patriots. Yes, this is an oldie but goodie, a lager in the mix of some of the others we have. But you can't deny that this was one of the beers that kicked off the craft beer explosion here. So
for sure.
That's what we're going to do right
Very
there.
Cool. Nice. New label, same beer.
That's right. They're following the big beer companies by changing the packaging and the labels and not talking about the beer.
And Toby, what are you going to be reviewing for us?
Out west, I'm going to be doing one of those pale ales. I'm sure you've heard of it, the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Been around for 30 years or so.
New brewery?
Yeah, you may have heard of them. Yeah, okay. They're in Chico, California, Sierra Nevada Brewing Company.
And also in South Carolina.
Oh, that's right. They have the South Carolina brewery.
Is it South Carolina? North Carolina?
Or maybe it's North. We'll talk about that when we get to it.
Okay. I don't want to jump the gun.
But speaking of the East Coast, I will be reviewing the good old Dogfish Head 60-Minute IPA. So let's get into it. And so as you can tell, we're actually not doing a local beer for this show, but we're all kind of doing our each fermentation conversation. So you're getting a whole lot of fermentation conversation tonight.
Yeah, because we all have all three of these beers this evening. Believe it or not, these were not hard to find. we found them at our local, well, not me, at the grocery stores, because I can't get the beer at a grocery store here in Massachusetts, but I think they're available wherever you find your beer and wine and liquor.
And it's funny how it kind of worked out being a local thing, because here we have the Boston Lager for Mike and Sierra Nevada out here in California. And then how far are you from Rehoboth, Tony?
The Rehoboth.
I'm about, I'd say, maybe 5 or 6 hours away.
So Mike's probably closer, right? Or no?
No.
No.
Because he's southwest of me.
Okay.
So I'm down in Connecticut.
Yeah, he would be there a couple hours before me, unless I drove really fast.
If you went 88
miles
an hour.
If you're going 88 miles per hour. Nice.
Damn, you beat me to it.
You're right. Gone to plaid. Okay. It's a different show.
Yes, that was a different show.
If you want to hear that show, go back to
Space Beers,
the podcast. All right.
Kick it off, Mike.
All right.
Ready
cool.
to drink.
Yeah.
This is a fermentation conversation.
Welcome to the Fermentation Conversation, part one. What we're doing here is the Sam Adams Boston Lager. This is from the Boston Brewing Company in Boston, Massachusetts, as well as a bunch of other places now. I think they're in...
Yeah, they're in like three or four different states now.
Ohio and Illinois and a bunch of different places. The ABV on this beer is... I'm sorry. The website, of course, is samueladams.com. The ABV on this beer is 5%, and the IBUs are 30. For malt varieties, they use Sam Adams' special two-row pale malt blend and caramel 60. Hop varieties is the Hallertau Mittelfura and Tettnanger.
Gesundheit.
I like that. Tettnanger. Noble hops. This is a year-round offering from them. Some might say this is their flagship beer. And this one in particular... Oh, it doesn't say when it's brewed. It's good until January of 2018.
Ooh, mine's good till February.
Oh. Ooh. So. Is it... Mine's good till November 2017.
Ooh. Yours is the just least fresh.
Just made it.
Yeah. I wonder how long the freshness scale goes to between brewing. Because, of course, this is an Anheuser-Busch product, so there's no born-on date here. But there is an expiration. All right, so let's crack it, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I think this is a new bottle cap for me, too. I don't think I have one that has the Boston
with
Lager
the shield?
On. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you're drinking out of your official Sam Adams glass there, Mike.
I know Mike is.
I am. That's true.
I'm actually using a Sam Adams summer ale glass.
Oh.
Hashtag appropriate glassware.
Yeah, nice. It's slender, you know. It's whatever.
Close enough. I'll take it.
Produces giant head.
Fit West Coast version of the glass.
Yeah.
A all those yoga classes they go to.
Trimming off the, we trim the facial hair, even though there is lots of hipsters on here, but anyway.
Yeah. But even those hipsters are pretty slim and trim.
So this is lighter than I remember.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
I thought that it was a lot darker, like a dark lager.
You could say DACA, it's all right. It's an East Coast beer, you could say DACA.
I got about a Yeti finger and a half of head here, and it's hanging out.
I had a finger. It's kind of dissipating a little bit. But I got about a pinky finger right now, and it's hanging out.
It's dissipating because it's in this nice beveled glass here that allows the head to breathe.
Yeah, you see all the carbonation too, because that laser etching on the bottom.
Lucky! The laser etching gone! But yeah, it's very clear. It has that kind of, what is that, like a copper, like a light copper color?
Yeah, it's a golden color, but it's starting to head towards the copper, amber, ish.
Super clear.
Hues, if you will.
I thought I remember this being a little bit more amber.
Me too.
Yeah. That's what I was saying with Mike. And the first time we did this beer was on our Fizzy Yellow beer show.
Yeah.
Back in 2010.
And it wasn't yellow.
And yeah, it was. I mean, this isn't a yellow. It's a little darker than yellow. But
yeah.
Either way, on the nose.
On the nose.
Big bready malt.
Yeah, very.
Get some, like, malty, floral. Like,
crackery.
There's a little, like, sharp floral something, too.
I mean, maybe a little bit of honey?
Smells lagery, for sure.
Yeah, that lager stank.
Yeah, it's like a sweeter, malty aroma.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I get the hops. The hops are coming through.
Yeah.
I get a little bit of that kind of...
The head's dissipating. It's weird that the hops would come through now.
It's some like herbal, hoppy. It smells...
Very European smelling.
Yes, hop. For sure. It must be that Hollertar.
Mirlfur. Or the Tetnanger. Pew, pew. That's what it sounds like. It's like, yeah, I purchased my new Tetnanger. This a six shooter.
Is that Super Tetnanger or just Tetnanger?
No, that's just regular Tetnanger.
Oh, we just lost both our viewers. Nice.
Oh boy.
Good one, Mike. Jeez.
Sorry. Beer Coast is bringing guns into the conversation.
We had two viewers? Oh, man.
We did.
Yes. Me and you, Tony.
All right.
But yeah. The hops peeking through. I like it. It's got the herbal, kind of earthy, floral stuff happening. Sweet, right. Kind of cracker bread.
In the words of Crazy Dave, blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it. Cheers.
Taking a sip, yeah. It's like people are like, why do they keep going on? It's just Boston Lager.
I know.
We still talking?
We gotta revisit the oldies here. We gotta do it every once in a while. Keep ourselves in check.
Want to make sure we haven't missed a step.
Yeah.
Still got it.
Yeah. So it's got the... It has that kind of stale lager. Finishes dry.
Hmm.
But it kind of has this like stale cracker.
Yeah, it's not as dry as I remember it. Actually, for me, it's a sweeter, malty flavor is just kind of sticking on the tongue for me. It's like it started to dry up, but it's just kind of hanging out. Not as crisp as I remember.
Now. I remember, like, back in the day, I don't know if my tastes have just changed, but I feel like Sam Adams in particular, when they come out with their seasonal styles, I find that their like Oktoberfest is probably, I feel like it's more sweeter now than it's ever been. Yeah. And I wonder if they also, I mean, this is one of their standards, so I don't think they tweak this all that much, but I just remember it being a little bit more drier than I remember.
See, now, for me, this is actually...
You remember it being more dry?
No, I think it's drier now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm getting, is I remember it being a little, like, thicker and sweeter.
Yeah.
This seems a lot more, like, drier and possibly hoppier. And not really crisp, but yeah, not thick and sweet.
Clean. Not like a clean finish.
Yeah. But it still kind of has, I mean, it has just has that typical like stale lager.
Yeah. Well, I think it has a little bit more interesting malty flavor, though. It's got a little bit more body than your average lager, I would say.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's just got that like toasted kind of maltiness in there.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, there's just something a little bit stale and a little metallic-y. I mean, it's still a lager, and as if anybody's listened to episodes of the show, they know that lager is not on my it's not one of my favorite styles.
But you know, if you went out to a bar and there was Coors Light, Bud Light, Sam Adams Boston Lager, what are you getting?
Yeah. Yeah. I get Sam Adams every time.
And I think, I want to say that the last time I had this was straight from the bottle at the bar. It was like, I got off work and I went to the bar and that was what they had. That was like, oh yeah, I'll take the Boston Lager, of course. And they just, you know, pop the cap and give it to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just drink it from the bottle. And maybe that's why my memory is more, like, sweeter and...
maybe.
I don't know. With this, you know, cracking it, pouring it in a glass, you get to release some of the... I mean, you release the CO2 and stuff like that, but... I don't know. Maybe it has changed.
You're getting a lot more aroma. You know, you're getting a lot more aroma out of a glass than you would the bottle.
Right.
You
know? Hmm.
So what are we pairing with this one, folks?
I want a pretzel. I want a big ass Bavarian pretzel with some spicy mustard.
I want a hot dog off the grill.
Yeah. That's sauerkraut. German food.
I could pair this with some tater tots, actually. Some nice loaded tater tots.
Maybe some bacon bits.
Bacon bits. Oh, yeah. Attaboy.
Now you're talking.
Now you're shooting on all tetanangers.
That's right. Shooting on the tetanangers. All right.
You got some untapped ratings for us, Mike?
We're going to get some... actually, I'm sorry, guys. That is the one window. That must have been what I thought I was... forgetting in the beginning of the show.
I have not checked this beer in. Just kidding. I've checked it in three times.
72 times. Let's see. I wonder if it will say, because it's one of those things where untapped, you don't do a lot of the multiples.
I checked this in on April 13th of this year.
Really?
Or is that... Yeah, 13th of April, 17. Yeah.
Last time I checked into this was 2015.
Oh, but I did check it in at my uncle's 100th birthday when I was back in Illinois.
100?
Yeah, his 100th birthday. He's turns 101 next month.
Holy cow.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's to him.
Yeah. He's still kicking. Yeah, why did I check this in April of this year? And I didn't check it in anywhere in particular. All right, whatever.
I've checked this in 8 times, which is strange, because I usually after a couple times I won't keep checking in the beers. But untapped. Oh.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I don't even know how to... Okay, out of 325,932 ratings, this rates a 3.43.
Not too bad. You know, the total number of check-ins, that's just the ratings.
Right.
Check-ins are double that.
Yeah, the check-ins are close to 800,000, right?
Yeah.
Getting it, yeah.
And who's the top loyal drinker? With 599 check-ins. It goes to Ed G. What's up, Ed G? I'm going to send him a friend request. He looks like he looks kind of like Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
They have a top check-in guy.
He's from Cincinnati, Ohio. Yep, he has checked this in 599 times.
99.
Come on, do the 600. Come on, Ed G. One more time.
The popular locations to drink this beer are Ruby's Wood Grill in Town of York, Maine. Of course, the Sam Adams Brewery in Boston, Massachusetts. And St. Patrick in somewhere, looks like Bucharest or something.
Bucharest, yeah.
Wow, that's weird.
That is pretty crazy that the brewery is the second.
This is number two, and yeah. Then number three is in Bucharest, and not like some bar in Chicago or something. I don't know.
But it's just funny how, because this is so widely available, it's a global reach.
Yeah,
it's probably one of the most popular American craft beers around the world, and
yeah.
The number two place.
It's the largest American brewery, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
I think so.
American owned. Yeah, can't count Anheuser-Busch because it's Belgian owned.
Yes. Yeah, the Brewers Association had to extend their limit on barrels per year because of Sam Adams to keep it craft.
And yet, if you look at the whole scheme, they're still like just like a very small percentage of the entire picture.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Very cool. All
right, well. That about wraps up the Boston Lager segment here.
Everybody,
was it uranium or plutonium? Uranium. Plutonium?
That's plutonium.
Plutonium.
This sucker's nuclear?
No. The sucker's electrical. But in order for me to get the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity I need. Okay. So, we're taking this 1. Back 21 to...
1.21 gigawatts?
Save the clock tower! Sam Adams Boston Lager was our first fermentation conversation this week. Now we've moved
out west.
In case you missed it, go back and listen to it. So this is the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, which is, I would say, is equally as important to the current, like, what do you want to call it, craft beer revolution or renaissance that we're in. A lot of it, I think, comes back to the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Because I remember back in the day going to parties. And I'll give a big shout out to Skiz, who just got married.
Skiz.
And
how is Skiz these days?
Skiz is good. He just got married and they're starting a new life together. He used to show up at parties with Sierra Nevada Pale Ale when we were all drinking like 40s and you know malt liquor and like all this crap. He would show up with Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. He would even have keg parties at his apartment, a whole keg of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And I remember just drinking it going, oh man, this stuff is so bitter.
It's like bitter.
How
yeah.
can you drink this? So here we are 20 years later. And we're drinking Sierra Nevada Pale Ale on the show and see how we feel about it now. I've probably had it, you know, not too long ago. You go to a wedding or you go to some sort of event somewhere and the beer that they have on tap is, you know, the big three and then...
Less than stellar lineup, usually.
Or Stella. And then they have the pale ale, so you're like, oh, I gotta get Sierra Nevada, you know. Anyway, but there was never a time where I actually, like, sat down and reviewed it and thought about the beer as I was drinking it. You know, pour it into a glass like we're gonna do right now. So this
eventually.
Is... Yeah, sorry. So this is Sierra Nevada Brewing Company.
Yak.
Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, they're out of Chico, California, and they also have a brewery in Mills River, North Carolina.
That's where it is.
Yes.
I knew it was some of those Carolinas there down there somewhere.
Sierra Nevada has been brewing since 1981, I think.
You think?
Oh, boy.
I think.
Jeez, someone's not doing their homework.
Or 1980. So let's say... No, 1980. I want to say like 1981 is when they got started. Ken Grossman, who Mike and I got to meet.
Ooh, nice. Yeah.
At the Beer Bloggers Conference 2014 here in San Diego.
Sat on the bus.
Yeah, Mike has a picture sitting next to him on the bus. Yep. Pretty cool.
With Toby with a big frowny face because he's not sitting next to him.
So this is the pale ale. This is what kicked it off. I mean, this is like, to me, this is the beer. So you have the Boston Lager. It was a lager. It was competing with the big three at the time, Miller, Anheuser-Busch, blah de blah, all those guys. Out west, you had the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, which is totally different. Nobody was really drinking ales back then.
For the record, so now... blah de blah is not brewing anymore.
So anyway, here we go. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Brewed with an ale yeast. The bittering hops are Magnum and Pearl. The finishing hops are Cascade. The malts are Two Row Pale and Caramel.
Now we're talking.
It comes in at a 5.6% ABV. 38 IBUs. So it seems pretty... Oh, man, it's a pale ale. So, yeah, 38 sounds about right. So let's go ahead and crack it, guys.
All right.
I will add to that that Sierra Nevada Brewing Company was founded in 1979.
There you go. Even older than I thought.
And the pale ale was brewed in 80? Did they start, like, bottling it, or is that, like, a R&D type date? Like, oh, wait, it was first brewed, and 5 years later.
Pale ale was born in 1980. There you go.
And, I mean, to me, it's pretty iconic.
Appropriate.
You know, they haven't changed much with the label as opposed to the Boston Lager. So we'll see if the beer has changed at all. The label stayed the same. Let's see if the beer stayed the same.
Yeah, this was definitely one of those beers I can remember hanging out with friends, going to picnics or parties or whatever, and people would bring, you know, a 30 rack of this and a 12-pack of that, and then someone would say, you know, someone would bring a 6-pack of Sierra Nevada. And you're like, what are you drinking? Oh, I'm drinking the pale ale, Sierra Nevada. Oh, what is that? Oh, it's, you know, brewery out in, you know, out west. And you try it, and it's one of those bitter beers. And, again, it's the first beer that you probably had that was so hop forward and kind of caught you off guard. But then...
But it kind of wakes you up.
It wakes you up.
Like, ooh, what is this? Why is it so bitter?
And it's funny because that was like the fancy beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I think of fancy beer as like Ballast Point Sculpin. Somebody shows up with a 6-pack of Sculpin, you're like, whoa, big spender, hey. Back then, it was like, oh, you showed up with Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I was like, oh, you paid $7 for that 6-pack? Oh, my God. Whoa, that's the fancy stuff. Anyway, look at the color.
Got a case
look
of 24 for $12. Why you spend
that? If you still have Boston Lager, look at the color. It's very close.
Very close.
So they both have that kind of light copper... I got about a solid human finger of head.
Yeah, I don't have a...
A Yeti finger here.
I can't measure the Lovibond units here.
No, you can't. See how you don't have close. Your Lovey Bond card. You can
check the SRM.
Put it behind it.
I could just dial in my robot eye.
A little laser action.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I definitely get the those like earthy, piney hops.
Yeah.
Yeah, piney.
It is sweet.
A little bit of citrus. Sweet. Yeah, it's kind of a. The head's kind of dissipating. It's kind of
icy herbal.
Almost like tickling my nose.
See, what's interesting about this is that it talks about using Cascade hops, and I always equate Cascade hops as being a little bit more tropical.
Yeah, with the grapefruit, right? Usually, Cascade is very citrus, kind of grapefruity. Right?
But I guess depending on, like, you know, it depends on the soil that you use out there. I don't know if they're that much different, but maybe they've developed a strain of Cascade hops that are a little bit more like floral and spicy kind of flavor going on. I don't know.
And what else did you say?
Because it's the Chico Valley strain.
The Cascade was for
the finishing hops. Yeah, the bittering is Magnum and Pearl.
Oh, there you go. Okay, Magnum is got very high alpha acids. So that's
high alpha acids, and that's probably where you get all the crazy bitterness that people. Okay. Talk about, even though it's only 38 IBUs, but still,
yeah,
for pale ale.
I still
ale,
think that that's a lie, because I don't know. I remember this beer, and the bitter, it definitely seems more bitter than 38. If they're saying Sam Adams is 30 and this is 38, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I might.
Well, let's take a sip.
All right.
Let's take a sip.
Cheers.
And find out.
Yeah.
Cheers.
So it's not as bitter as
That's not that bitter.
No, not as bitter as I remember it.
Definitely not.
Look at that lacing. That's nice. Nice lacing.
And I'm actually being able to taste more of the malts here, which I don't remember at all.
Now, reading the description on Untappd, it says that it has a deep amber color.
That's a lie, too.
That's not true.
I would say it's a light amber, not a deep amber. This is this is a good beer. It's got really good. I mean, it is okay. So it is still a little hop forward for a pale ale. It does have,
but I think it's done on purpose. You know, I really believe that this is what they really wanted it to be, you know. They wanted to show that this could be a pale ale, was hop forward. I don't know if this was a beer that he brewed thinking, like, this is what I want to represent, kind of
the
Western ales or the West Coast, and or if this beer kind of gave West Coast style beers that. You know what I mean? Like, I think people, because of a beer like Sierra Nevada, this is kind of what people think of when they think of a West Coast style, you know, pale ale.
Well, I also wonder if, like, when they were originally brewing it, that they were like, people were going, no, man, this is crazy. This is, like, way too much. And they're like, no, I like this.
It's like,
this is badass.
You don't understand.
We're going to keep doing this. I don't even care. We will learn people to appreciate this type of thing.
We will learn people.
So it seems like they were ahead of their time. And how long did it take for people to finally catch on and go, oh, okay, this is, you know.
Yeah.
And they didn't change. They just kept doing it. You know, Sierra Nevada just kept doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say
the 80s.
For both of these guys, I think, you know, I think Sam Adams and Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
Both of, like.
They both had this thing where they stuck to their guns.
Yeah.
They're stuck to their tetanangers.
Yeah.
And they.
Tetanangers.
And they said, no. People will come around. Like, people will come around and will eventually appreciate this because this is pretty badass.
Yeah. They just had to wait for everybody's palates to catch up to theirs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's not unlike what you see nowadays where you have all these breweries that are popping up and they're coming out with these new IPAs and people say, I don't really like IPAs. And then people try it and they realize actually they're kind of delicious and they have all these different like flavors going on. So they brew this at first and they convince, you know, they like drinking it and they convince their friends to like drinking it. And then it just keeps growing and it becomes like this movement. And now it's nothing like anything else that they've ever tasted back then. So
it's yeah,
definitely started kind of the whole revolution, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I've had IPAs that were like this, like some small brewery did an IPA and I'm like, yeah, this is okay. It's not that. And then I have this and I go, oh, this reminds me of some IPA I had recently. It was a weak IPA, but it's just funny.
Yeah, I've always thought of this, you know, way back that this was much closer to an IPA, you know, than it was a pale ale. But it's different, you know, different now. Because now I'm taking a sip now. It seems like this is just a good hop forward pale ale. Just I almost feel like this is would be my like textbook of what it's supposed to be, you know.
It definitely is, I would say, flavor forward. Like there is a lot of flavor for, because like pale ales, I usually don't gravitate towards pale ales. Pale ales are kind of like, that's like, I don't even know if I would get a keg of pale ale just because I'm like, yeah, that's like, you know, sure, I'll get a can, take it to the beach, or if I'm at a party and somebody has it, sure, I'll have pale ale. But that's not usually something I go for only because I want something that's a little more exciting. Because to me, pale ales are like, that is like, to me, that's the introductory ale for people that like, okay, oh, you want to start drinking ales, start with the pale ale, obviously, then move up from there. But with this, I mean, it has a lot of flavor. There's a lot going on. And maybe that's what it was to us back in the day, was it wasn't so much that it was more bitter, it was just more flavorful. Because, like, my daughter, she won't eat certain things because she says they're quote-unquote spicy. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to teach her that it's not spicy, it's just flavorful. So it's kind of like that, where it's like, okay, you just, I don't know where I'm going with it. But,
well, it's funny, because a lot of times if I go out to a restaurant or we go to a brewery, that, you know, people just like going to breweries now that maybe aren't necessarily beer drinkers, and they'll turn to me and they'll say, you know, Tone, pick something out that you think I might like. And it's what I usually try to get, a IPA that's not too bitter or too crazy hoppy, or a pale ale, and say, try this. It's not that bitter. And they'll drink it and they say, oh, okay. And that becomes kind of their go-to. And then they want something a little different. Once they get their palate kind of adjust to that, then they'll try an IPA that's maybe a little bit more juicy and not so bitter. And then they want to try a new one. And so.
Yeah. And, it's interesting too, because you might throw the pale ales at them first, and they may still be like, oh, this is too bitter, I don't like this, and have to steer them in a different direction. Like, all right, well, maybe let's try a red or a brown or even a Belgian. You know, like it's fun to do though, and I like that when people say, hey, you know, what do you think? What do you think I might like? Or pick something up for me, you know. I think that's fun, because it shows that, you know, they're interested in wanting to try something different, and you can kind of, you know, figure out what they like and what they don't like, and eventually they're going to find that beer that's like, oh, this is the perfect beer for them, you know. Or be like us and just want to keep trying different things, and but it's fun. Yeah, I enjoy it very much.
Very cool. So, how about some ratings? What do you think?
I was going to throw in real quick.
Sure.
The first time that we all tried this beer on the show was episode 11 of the Beer Coasters podcast back in July of 2009. It was our fermentation conversation beer. And we'll get to like ratings during last call if we want to look back and see what we rated it back then. Oh, okay. Compare it to our current ratings. But anyway, let's see. Yeah, food pairings. What do you guys think?
I'd pair this with some. I'll go West Coast on you. I'll pair it with some street tacos.
Nice.
All right.
I think that would be good. Some nice, yeah. Fish tacos.
Fish tacos would be good. That's a good idea. Yeah, I like that.
I'm going to go to World Curry down Pacific Beach, and I'm going to get some green curry with chicken. Let's get a little high on the spice level. Maybe go for like an 8.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
What kind of sandwich would you pair this with?
A little spicy sandwich?
Any kind of sandwich would go good
pastrami.
With this. No. I don't know. I think a BLT or like a turkey sandwich or something like that. But I think Tony might have nailed it with the fish tacos. I think that would be, it's clean enough, refreshing enough. If you get that beer battered fish,
it's California, you know, it's enough to go with the beer.
Some avocado.
yeah, I like that. Or like a club sandwich or something like that. Bacon, avocado. Turkey, I think would be good. But this is kind of like one of those all around, you know, pub grub would work with this. Any kind of like fried food, I think, would work with this. French fries,
yeah.
Burgers, sandwiches.
Pub grub, yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, fries, garlic fries from O'Brien's would be good with one of these too.
Yeah.
See, now I'm untapped. I'm missing San Diego.
You'll be out here in April or May next year for a barbecue, I'm sure.
All right. Don't forget.
I'm telling you now.
Is there a date?
We got Virginia.
Not yet.
Coming up next.
Yeah, I know. Summer. I got to start pinching pennies.
Yeah, got to pinch pennies, man.
Gonna happen.
On Untapped, this year Nevada Pale Ale comes in at a 3.65 out of 344,071 ratings, with a total of 848,156 check-ins.
Silly.
The most loyal drinker is the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man.
Nice.
Stay P is his name. Stay P.
Oh, I didn't even get that.
Yeah. 811 check-ins. Congratulations.
How many Stay P?
All right. I need to see where you guys are finding the.
It's right there, top right. Loyal drinkers.
And they rank them?
They just show if you mouse hover over it.
Mr. Stay Puff. Sweet. Yeah.
You hover over it, it'll tell you their check-ins.
Gotcha.
The top three popular locations to drink the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Here we go. The Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You'll probably see Green Man running around there. Landmark Lowe's Jersey Theater in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Joycey.
Yeah, the theater folk over there drinking some Pale Ale.
Theater folk.
And the Euston Flyer in London, Greater London. Crazy.
London, Greater London.
Ooh, I like the Thrash Zone somewhere in, like, Japan or something. It's awesome. It's all over the place. Asheville, North Carolina. London. Bern. I don't know where Bern is. Japan. Something. Manchester. New Jersey, Philadelphia. It's crazy.
Manchester.
I have checked this beer in 3 times.
What?
Oddly enough, have checked in both Sam Adams and Sierra Nevada 8 times. And that is strange. Both of them.
That was my 20th check-in for the Sierra Nevada.
Wow.
I tend not to do the the repetitive ones. I don't know why. I probably should just untap every beer. If I crack a beer, just untap it, whether I've had it before or not. But
I mean, I'll probably check into it, like, if I'm drinking this for a night, yeah, and not check into it again. But
right,
they used to have those badges where you would check into the same beer X amount of times.
Oh, yeah. Badges
for it.
Well, they had, like, a six-pack badge or something.
Yeah,
I think I got that with the orange wheat Hangar 24. I was stuck in a hotel room, and I drank myself a six-pack of that. I got a badge.
Checked every single one in.
Every single one.
All right, y'all. Well, there you go. That's the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Classic American Pale Ale from California.
America.
And up next, we got an IPA that we're going to be drinking.
Yeah.
New brewery called Dogfish.
Time to reload our tetnangers.
We'll be back.
Paul's America.
America?
And here we are for not one, not two, but your third fermentation conversation. I am Beer Coaster Tony coming out of Hartford, Connecticut, and we are going to be all drinking the Dogfish Head 60-Minute IPA.
I got a can.
You got the can?
Yeah.
I didn't get the can. I got the bottle.
Mike went old school.
Be a loser.
I had the Sierra can, but the Dogfish bottle.
He hates these cans. If you have not heard, the Dogfish Head Brewery has been brewing since 1995 out of Milton, Delaware. Their website is dogfish.com. This is a IPA, and they call it a 60-minute IPA because I don't know if you guys heard about this, but they actually continually hop this beer.
Great Scott!
Hence the name, 60-Minute IPA.
It's heavy, man.
Yeah, ABV is 6, and the IBUs is 60.
Right there.
Right, very nice range.
That's Toby's very nice range.
That's at the cusp. Very nice range.
Now, these guys have been brewing since 1995, but the 60-Minute IPA was introduced back in 2003.
Yeah, because they did the 90 first, right? The 90 was before the 60. Yeah,
I didn't read that, but I trust you on that one.
I heard it from Sam himself.
Okay, well, you know.
As a matter of fact, wait. If you don't believe me, you can listen to Sam right now.
Hello, Sam Calagione here, Dogfish Head Craft Brewery, and today we are talking about 60-Minute IPA. Following in the technical footsteps of 90-Minute, 60-Minute is, you guessed it, continually hopped for 60 minutes. Traditionally, IPAs are hopped a little bit up front for bitterness, a little late for aroma. With our IPAs, that continual dosing of hops makes for a really special experience. So when you try our continually hopped 60-minute IPA, you get a really pungent, citrusy nose, and then a beautiful balance between our aromatic hops and that nice, malty sweetness that counterbalances the hops. It is 6% alcohol, 60 IBUs. Find it everywhere you find great indie craft beer, cans, bottles, draft, coming at you in all formats. Look for 60-minute. Cheers.
Wow. Thanks,
Sam. That
was
awesome. Hey, thanks, Sam. I appreciate that.
He keeps making special appearances on the show.
He knows his stuff, and even went on location to, like, try that beer.
Yeah.
Like, this is right around the corner from Dogfish Head. That was pretty cool.
Is that
in Maine?
Is that in the budget? The Beer Coaster budget?
In the, Well, we're still financing it. We'll pay it off sometime, maybe 2030.
Okay.
Pinch of pennies, man.
But hey, if that Patreon thing ever works out, maybe it'll be a couple years sooner.
Yeah, maybe we can buy one of those 60 minutes with the Patreon.
Yeah.
This is a year-round release, let's crack it.
All right, now we're talking. Speaking my language. None of that Portuguese.
Hashtag appropriate glassware.
Yes, I don't have any dogfish glasses. I was disappointed in myself. Sam, if you're listening, I could use a dogfish head glass. Send it to the Beer Coasters podcast.
Boston chapter.
Yeah, P.O. Box.
On Zippor.
Yeah, I got a Yeti, big Yeti finger head on there.
Big Yeti.
Oof. Yeah. I got that. Same.
Perfect human finger here.
I didn't get anything.
A little more gingerly than the other two coasters.
I didn't get anything in terms of what it uses for a malt bill, but it did say that it used a boatload of intense Northwest hops. Like Warrior, Amarillo, and a Mystery Hop X, they say.
Ooh.
Not sure what that is.
See, now I wonder if Mystery Hop X is an actual name of a hop, or they're trying to do what Stone does by not revealing. Like if it's some kind of their own hybrid hop that they're calling Mystery X.
Yeah. Maybe.
Let's see. On the
news. I think I got some chill haze, because I got a little bit of cloudiness happening. And it's a light orange color.
This is probably the, would you say the darkest one of the three that we've had?
It's the least transparent.
Is it yellow?
Yeah, it might be a little cloudier.
This is, I don't know, it's more golden, I think. It's, yeah.
I don't know. Now I wish I could see them kind of side by side. Because I don't feel that way.
Yeah, I think the other ones are a little darker. They're a little more amber. This, to me, is a little more orange.
Yeah, this is...
Yellowish orange.
Gold.
Yeah, what was it? The lager that you just had? Toby?
This holding it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Boston lager.
Wow. Okay. Yep.
And here's the Sierra Nevada.
It is a little... It's more unfiltered. It was definitely an unfiltered...
Yeah.
It has an unfiltered look to it.
On the nose. Big citrus hops.
Yeah.
I can't even get the spicy, dry.
Ooh. Like lemon?
Maybe? Yeah, get some lemon in there. Lemon peel.
A little bit of pine.
Mm-hmm.
Very, it smells very northwesty.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Ooh, I'm even getting a little perfumey. Well, it's just funny that Mike says it, because I always feel like I'm the only one that kind of picks up on those types of things, like the northwesty smells and flavors of beers.
I think this was one of the first beers that I had that really just was... That bitter beer that my friend offered up, and I tried it, and I thought it was disgusting.
Yeah. That's why I'll have to say, before I even take a sip of this, that I mean, the 90-minute for me is... I mean, I love the 90-minute. I think it's great. It's less dry than the 60, and I don't know, it's just...
A little more malty.
I like that balance of the 90 over this one.
More malty, more boozy, I think. Yeah.
So I was talking to Gina today about the show, and was it's telling good. Her...
Communication's important in a marriage.
I was telling her about the three beers that we're doing, and they're kind of like, you know, the classic, like Mike was saying, the classic, craft classics or whatever.
Craft classics. Mm.
And so...
I feel like we should have little polo shirts to say craft classics on.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Let's do it.
With the three logos.
And so when it came to the IPA, she's like, really? The 60 minute? That's your classic IPA? So I started thinking about, like, I don't know. What is, like, the most popular
It's kind IPA? Of the young. It's the young version. It's the newer version of the classic, I think. You know? Because Dogfish Head, obviously, later in the game than... than the Boston Beer Company or Sierra Nevada.
But as far as, like, what, when you think of, like, a classic IPA that you think everybody should know about as, like, the IPA, 60 Minute doesn't really come to mind, even though we chose this one because we have our reasons for choosing the 60 Minute.
Because I think it was adopted as their flagship, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't originally, but I think it became... You know.
Yeah,
this was the first one that I had that, like, when I think of the first IPA that I had, it was this one.
But I was also thinking of, like, East Coast versus West Coast, and this was the big discussion that we would have over past shows, and that's kind of how we came to this particular episode, was because of the 60 Minute. We talked about 60 Minute, East Coast, West Coast. This is the quintessential East Coast IPA. So then we started talking about, well, why don't we do a show where we kind of go back to these classic beers, craft beers, and review them.
Yeah.
So I went to Untappd, and all I did was type in search bar IPA. The number one IPA, the most popular, is the Lagunitas IPA.
Ah, okay.
Number two is the Two Hearted Ale from Bell's. And so. I kind of agree with that, even though...
I don't think we all can get that, though.
Yeah, I thought that the Two Hearted was just a paleo. I didn't know that it was an IPA. And then the All Day IPA from Founders, which I don't really believe that that's that popular. The Goose IPA from Goose Island, which to me makes total sense because they're AB now.
Just
so, of course,
distribution.
They've got the reach.
They can get in the hands of more people, so...
Then the Sculpin, and then 60 Minute. So, but as far as
people didn't have cell phones back in, like, you know, 2003, you know, Untappd wasn't around.
Exactly.
So
that's why I think that this kind of works out better, because this has been around a lot longer than Sculpin, I think, is more recent than 2003. Right. For sure, the All Day,
but not as big. Dogfish Head's got to be, a bigger brewery than...
Yeah. So anyway, it was just interesting that Gina brought that up. She was like, that's your IPA? So I started thinking, well, what other classic IPAs are out there?
Yeah. Interesting.
So anyway, that's something for the listeners to think about.
Yeah, and of course there's going to be some regional
the listener,
bias
sorry,
there.
The listener. So I
guess, yeah.
You hear that?
How do you say that in Portuguese?
Anyways, I just thought that it was interesting. Stone IPA is less popular than 60 Minute. Because that was one of the first ones I thought of when she asked me that. I was like, Stone IPA? Is that more popular? But apparently in Untappd,
it's
not.
This is where your regional bias is starting to take shape here.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say Harpoon IPA would be up on that list, too.
Right, because, we'd throw that up here. And that's another, like, that'd be more of a regional...
What was one of those first actual IPAs that came out that people were like?
For me, it was Harpoon. That was my first one.
Yeah.
You know, I was at a party at my cousin's house, and someone had put it in the cooler, and I grabbed it instead of the other stuff that was there, which was most likely Bud Light and whatever. So that was my first introduction to craft beer, and even Harpoon at the time was like bitter, and I was like, what the. Heck is this? This is so different, you know? But it definitely sparked my curiosity.
Your introduction was stealing someone else's beer that they brought to that party?
Yeah.
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 But they hid purposefully? They buried it and you found it?
Yeah, they buried it in the bottom. Yeah.
It's like you go to the fridge and you put your six-pack way in the back behind the Heineken and everything.
And then you find that it's just yours that are missing. And all those Heinekens are still...
Bastards!
All right.
Anyways, enough reminiscing, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Let's take a sip.
Take a sip, yeah! I get the citrus. Oh, yeah. Did we talk about ingredients and stuff?
Yeah, did I mean, I couldn't, I couldn't really find any sort of malt bill ingredients, but it said that it was brewed with a... bless you.
Thanks.
A boatload of Northwest hops, Warrior Amarillo, and that Mystery Hop X.
That's right.
Mystery Hop X.
It's pretty light.
I get a little malty sweetness in there.
But it's not like, bam, it's not smack you in the face.
It's dry, though. It's got, it dries right up.
Yeah.
I would say it may even be drier than the Sierra Nevada was.
Yeah. And it has that, it has like the orange peel and.
Yeah. There, yeah.
Very something clean.
A little pithy about it.
Yeah.
Would you say this is more bitter than the pale ale?
Hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bitter and drier for sure.
Some orange skin or like grapefruit skin.
So that
the
malt feels lighter, paler, you know, thinner than I think the Sierra Nevada did too. And I wish I had them still in front of me so I could drink them, but they're in my belly.
But even the malt even seems a little creamier.
Yeah.
So more of like
smoother. It's much smoother than I remember. It's not as it's not as prickly and as bitter as I remember.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's a good. I think that that's a good distinction between East Coast and West Coast. Is West Coast could be more prickly. Than the East Coast. The East Coast are more smoother, creamier. Because, you know, the whole, like, I don't know, unfiltered or hazy, I think.
Which is funny, because that's what seems to be, that was the deciding factor that I never really realized in the beginning, that, you know, the East Coast style IPA was, you know, an unfiltered, you know, version. And I never really thought about that being one of the differences, you know.
When you say prickly, you mean like piney? Like more bitter?
More bitter, yes. Where the carbonation and the bitterness are kind of like playing off each other. It's kind of
has a bigger bite to it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
For some reason, I think that that's one of my...
My dog, I think, getting water out of the toilet right now.
What would he pair that with? That's the question. Mm. Is that prickly?
Yeah.
I hope
toilet water?
All right. Is your water out there prickly? Or is it creamy and unfiltered?
Oh, boy.
On I think the water note, out here is prickly.
Yeah, on that note.
On that let's note.
Have some, let's have some food pairings.
I am going to pair this with some spicy Thai food.
Okay. See, now this beer, I want the taco. Maybe not the fish taco, but just a like crunchy... You know,
chorizo or
crunchy beef taco, you know,
yeah,
corn, crispy corn tortilla and a beef.
Nice.
See, I'm thinking something cheesy, almost like a. Yeah.
Well, there'd be cheese on my taco. For sure.
Well, like a cheese and cracker plate, or like cheese and sausage and.
I don't think fruit. It's that fancy, Toby.
No.
You could go full circle and go pretzel with beer cheese.
Yeah.
Never go full circle.
I just think something cheesy, even like a sharp cheese, might go well with this.
Yeah, it definitely would.
How about a quesadilla? There's lots of cheese in a quesadilla.
There is. See? Mucho cheese.
Sí. Sí. All right, on Untappd, out of 290,130 ratings.
Holy.
Yeah.
This ranks in at a 3.88.
Wow. Good on you, Dogfish. Jeez. It's almost a four cap rating.
It's rated higher than the others, yes?
Yeah. And I have checked this in 3 times. All the beers I've had tonight, I've checked in 3 times.
The shout-out, instant shout-out to Derek D., who has drank in this beer 406 times.
Wow.
Damn. I mean,
what's wrong with these people?
It's not, you know, it's no...
I checked this in 4 times.
I'm on 26. I guess I checked into this. I must have been going for a badge or something.
Sure.
I mean, Derek is no, you know, stay P there with his 811 ratings or check-ins. Yeah. But popular locations.
You know, it's hard to compete with Mr. Stay Puff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Popular locations: MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, home of the Giants and Jets. Floyd's Bar in Victoria, Minnesota, and Pier 6 Pavilion in Baltimore, Maryland.
The last time I checked this beer in was in 2013.
That's I wonder, can I look to see when last
at
time?
At BJ's Restaurant and Brew House out there in Las Vegas.
Let's see.
Can I see my check-ins?
Yeah, if you click on it. I just checked into this beer a minute ago. Oh wait, that was just now.
I saw that. Let me toast you real quick. Don't go anywhere.
In fact, the last time I checked into this in 2016 was at Fergie's Pub.
Fergie.
And I have one comment on that check-in from the Beer Coasters podcast that says classic, solid.
See that? Craft Classics.
Right.
My last one was lunchtime at Lobster Land.
Lobster.
Ooh, Lobster Land!
And I got a couple cheers. Malt Porter!
Haha. Nice.
Nice.
All right. Seeing that it is tomorrow, East Coast time, I think we should head right into a little thing called...
Last call.
Last call. Here we are.
Yeah.
You got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. So for our 3 fermentation conversations, we started off with the Sam Adams Boston Lager. Mike, what do you think, my friend?
Oh, this is a it's a tough one for me.
It's a craft classic.
It is a craft classic.
And I have 5 more.
I have to say that I enjoyed the toasty maltiness of this beer. I enjoyed that aroma of getting more of almost like the European style hops. I'm not a huge fan of lagers. I mentioned that too. I think I even mentioned it while we were drinking the beer.
Yeah.
I seriously don't know what to give a pint rating for this beer.
You know, it's weird because I was thinking about it too before, and these beers have. Like, they set the standard for a lot of the styles. Like, we have a lager, we have a pale ale, and an IPA. But that doesn't mean you should rate it higher because it's stood the test of time and it kind of started something, or it's something that you like to drink now. You know, it's up to you, obviously, but it's...
Yeah. So a lot of the times I'll rate things... I have different ratings for different reasons sometimes, which is a horrible way to do proper ratings, I guess. But I mean, I'll do it by mood, I do it by the experience, I do it by the style sometimes.
You do you, boo-boo.
Yeah.
You want to know what you gave it back in 2009?
Yeah, can I cheat? Can I see what
the fourth
yeah,
oh, episode. 2010. What I gave it. The fourth episode of the Beer Coasters podcast.
Wait.
Ever.
The Lager Show? The
Fizzy Yellow Beer Show? I'm sorry, I was thinking about the...
No,
I was thinking of the Dogfish, label. Dogfish, the IPA issue.
Oh, Fizzy Yellow, yeah, this was August of 2010, so this was into season it? 2. You gave it a 3.
I
five.
Did. And it's so funny because that was the first... that's the first number in my head is what I was thinking, but it's like, I don't think that that's... I feel like it deserves a little more respect than that, even though it's not... I don't know. I feel like if I were a judge and it was... I don't know. This is tough. I'm going to give it 3.5.
All right.
Should we all go and do the lager?
You like it a little better now.
Yeah, let's all do this, our lager, and then we'll all do each one.
Okay.
But Toby, what did you think of the Boston Lager?
I, for some reason, didn't have a rating for this the first time we did it on the show. I don't know why. I didn't get it. I don't know what the reason was. But Chris and Mike both had a rating for it, and I did not. Sam Adams Boston Lager.
You probably had a spoiled one that was probably like oxidized or something. Like, oh man, I can't rate this.
Yeah,
I wouldn't feel the right rating this beer.
I'm not really a big lager drinker either. I do respect the lager when it's well made and in traditional lager brewing techniques. And ingredients and stuff like that. I mean, this is not bad, and you kind of, it's with Sam Adams Boston Lager, you kind of have to like give respect where respect is due, but like this isn't something that I would like, you know, the only reason why I bought this was because we were doing it on the show and I wouldn't normally go out and get it. And but it's like what we were saying during the fermentation conversation, if they had it on tap somewhere and it was either that or obviously
sometimes it is your
it.
Only choice, you know, there's yeah, so yeah. many restaurants where it still is your only choice, which
so
you
of
know.
Course of course you're gonna pick this over Stella, or you're gonna pick this over, you know, X
yeah,
giant
X brand
mega
lager.
Right, so I think I'm with Mike. I think I'm gonna go 3.5. Right. It's good. It's solid. It's
I feel
not
like we're
like,
both being pretty generous, but I understand
yeah.
our perspective. I understand where we're coming from.
But it's not like it's not. You can still tell that it's not, you know, mass. You know, whatever. AB index.
Macro.
Right. Macro
well,
lager.
We know it's still not right. It's not thinned out right. with corn or rice, and you can definitely right. taste the difference in that.
And I know that I've had some local small, you know, some local breweries that have done lagers before that I have enjoyed better than this. So that's probably why I'm going to go.
I'm going to go with a 3. You know, it stood the test of time. It was one of those beers that you kind of buy by accident because you buy like a Sam Adams mix pack. I would probably never buy a 6-pack of this Boston Lager, but
right.
you go through and you have the you know, like say you're doing the Winter Classics and you have like Old Fezziwig and you have you know a whatever IPA they're pushing at that point. Maybe there's a Belgian Wit or where there's a Saison that they're trying to do, and then you grab the Boston Lager and you're like, okay, like it's not bad, it's not great. It's a stand up beer, and yeah. like if you're out at a pub and that's what the best option is, then I have no problems going with it. So, great food pairing beer. Nothing
yeah.
great. I don't need to get it again. You know, but
and don't you think too that part of this is we're almost kind of spoiled in a sense of because we have. We usually have so many other choices, and that's why we wouldn't go grab a 6-pack of Sam Adams. But yet, if we're in the middle of nowhere and that's all it was, like for choices, we're these, you know, macro lagers and the Sam Adams, we'd absolutely go to the Sam Adams.
Yeah.
So I think it really matters on, you know,
what availability. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the availability? And back in the day, you know, when we didn't have all these other choices, then I think this would probably fare better, you know, ratings wise with us, you know. But it's just tough because there's so many things out there, and this is kind of a here's a textbook, you know, lager.
Right.
It reminds me of, I don't know, it's like one of the, it's like that feeling that it's almost like a mom and pop shop where you're like, okay, you know, they've been around for a long time. We want to support them, even yeah. though they don't really have the kind of stuff that we like anymore because we've kind of moved past that technologically or whatever it is. And so, but you don't want to stop supporting them because you're like, ah, they've been around forever. They're awesome. They're cool. We like them. They're kind of like part of the family. They're part of the neighborhood and all this stuff. That's kind of how I feel about the Boston Lager, because like I don't want it to go away because I have all this respect for it because it's been around. It has done its part in the craft beer world. And so like when I read these things about maybe Boston beer companies, like profits are slumping or they're not seeing the numbers that they saw before and they're kind of like scrambling to keep up with the modern craft beer stuff, and I'm just like, I kind of feel bad, but then I'm like, no, I mean, they you know, I'm sure Greg Cook like is still proud of what he's done. He's still proud of his product. Greg is Stone. So yeah. Jim Cook is still proud of his product, and he's not going to change what he's doing. But at the same time, you're just like, yeah, it's kind of like this thing that you're just like,
you know, I
don't know, like an old person you kind of feel sorry for, but it's not that it's terrible. That's the thing, is it's not bad. It's still a well-made beer. It's still a really good beer, and it's better than a lot of stuff that's out there in its genre.
I agree. You know? Right. And I want to move on to the next one, but I want to just kind of say, I feel like all these beers need to play the game a little differently than what you just compared it to. So like Boston Lager is not going to compare to, you know, Elysian out in Seattle, you know, doing a cool IPA, or like something like we talked about, you know, Barrel House Z. You know, they're not going to compare to those guys, or like a new IPA that's out there that Harpoon might be doing. But the Sam Adams Boston Lager needs to be like a ballpark staple. And then the ballpark, instead of like, you look at the macro beers and like Coors Light, like, and you know, Budweiser and Bud Light, like all Anheuser-Busch stuff, like they are the top selling. Why? Because they're at all these like NASCAR events and all these like ballparks. Like Sam Adams Boston Lager, as simple as it is, needs to be a staple beer in like sporting events, and that's the market. So like, leave the taps, you know, at the mom and pop shops, you know, full of the new IPAs coming out and all the new things, and let Sam Adams kind of find a different market and be able to keep on going.
I'm just hoping that Jim sees that and he understands it and isn't like getting down on himself for like, oh my God, our sales are slumping and what are we going to do? We got to like keep up. It's like, no, just keep doing what you're doing, but find the right places to put your stuff, you know, instead of, I don't know, adding more stuff. Whatever, but it's not like they don't do other good stuff, because I've had some really cool other off things from Sam Adams. They do, I mean, the whole Rebel, they do the Rebel series and stuff with the IPAs and stuff. They're not bad. They're pretty good. Anyway,
let's go on to
the whole New World series and all that stuff. Tony's trying to wrap this up.
I understand. Yeah, gotta keep pushing on.
He's giving us the wrap it up. I was going to do read a little thing that Beer Coaster Charlie did from our original show, but I'll save it.
A little nugget. Toby, why don't you kick off the Sierra Nevada, because you had that one.
That old ramble. Let's see. For the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Keep it short there, pal.
I think this is a really, really well-made beer. It is solid. I mean, there's... I don't think there's anything wrong with this beer for my palate. I know that there's people that, like me back in the day, would come into this and going, oh, no, it's too bitter. There's too much sharpness or prickliness, right, Mike? Yeah. But
what'd you call it?
But
prickly.
For where my palate is now and my experience and stuff, and having this again and revisiting this and not just taking it as the banquet beer or whatever, you know, the beer that's...
I think that's the wrong brand.
Yeah, Coors Original.
Well, you know what I'm saying? It's like the beer that's just... Oh, yeah, we got hearing about a pale ale.
I'm going to get sued for that.
Dude, I'm going 5 pints on this.
What?
Sorry. I'm going... 5 pints on the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I love it. It's great. And it's so awesome that I'm able to, like, really taste it now and like, review it now. Because for the most part, it's one of those things where I feel like I was drinking it out of the bottle and it was at, like, picnics and you know, wherever. It was never something that I actually sat down and, like, okay, let me drink this. And just having that last sip, I'm like, yeah, man, this is good. This is solid. It's got all the right sensations, hitting all the right buttons with my palate. So,
Toby's
I'm sorry,
buttons.
Guys. 5 pints, man.
Hashtag Toby's buttons.
I think it's solid.
Okay. I agree that it is a solid beer, and there's part of me that agrees with Toby on the other part of it, where this guy brewed a beer and other breweries decided to, like, step up their game to get to the level, I think, that the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale has been at since day one. And I still feel like if we can go back this many years later and try this beer... and it still stands up the test of time, is pretty impressive. I'm not going to give it 5 pints because there are other pale ales that I like.
But you're not crazy,
you know that? Yeah, because I'm not completely insane. But I am really impressed that a beer can stand up and be this solid still. And there's still some other crap beers that still aren't as good as a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, you know? I'm going to give it a 4 because that's kind of just my good rock solid rating. So, yeah, I'm giving it a 4. Still really good, and I'm really impressed that it's kind of held up as well as it has all these years.
This is like one of those, I never really like consider it as like the fridge beer. This is the beer that you should probably always have on hand.
Yeah.
Like this is the, oh, I come home from work, I just want to crack a beer,
right.
But I don't want to drink
drinkable.
I don't want to drink garbage, but you know, here we go. Let me just crack, oh, pale ale, it's going to satisfy, it's going to, you know, for me, it's going to hit the right buttons, it's going to tingle, you know, tickle the right parts of my tongue, and it's going to satisfy. I guess that's what it is it's always going to satisfy.
You know, Sierra Nevada was the beer that kind of introduced me to a lot of different, you know, styles, and I'd probably have to say, you know, even with the Dogfish 60, I probably wouldn't buy a six-pack of Dogfish 60 now because, I mean, if it's a Dogfish, they're going to come out with something new, or like Mike had pointed out about the 90, like, I'm probably more apt to, like, you know, it depends, I guess, how much I'm going to be drinking of that particular beer, but what's interesting is that even though, like, I kind of started drinking Sierra Nevada a long time ago, I would easily, like, I wouldn't even hesitate to grab a six-pack if I'm going to a picnic at this point. Like, it's still one of my go-to beers, even after all these years. And I'm gonna give it 3.5. You know, it's nothing that is amazing. You're not gonna have it and just you know, it's not going to, you know, blow your socks off, but it's going to be something that you could easily go back to, and it's been a consistent, you know, it delivers consistently. So.
Yeah.
And see, and to that, speaking to that, that's, it is amazing because it's amazing in the form of that it's just, it's a staple like that, you know, like I can go and I know that this is a good solid beer. I'm not going to be disappointed. I can bring it and nobody's going to be disappointed with what I brought, you know. It's
unless they're super snobby, like, why did you just bring this ale?
But it's
dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly. This hearing about it from
the boo box.
Really into lately. But yeah, it's a rock solid beer, and I think it will be for years to come. Even though we're in the, I don't know if we're in the past or the future or where the heck we are right now, but I'm sure Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is still rock solid, no matter where we are.
Whatever.
Whether it's 1955, 2015, 17, whatever.
Or if we're in the alternate, a 1985 with Biff's Casino Hotel.
And then the last beer we had was the Dogfish 60. And I'm going to go.
Yourself. Go. You do it yourself, Tony.
Do yourself. You do you.
Do yourself.
Whoa, not on this show.
Tony, I want to see you do you.
Was that your Elvis?
That was his acting coach. I was being his acting coach. I was
I feel my motivation. I'm trying to emote right now.
I couldn't figure out, is this Elvis or Derek Zoolander or what?
The answer is yes to everything.
Elvis Zoolander.
I'm gonna go 3.5. 3.5.
3.5?
Yeah. 3.5. 3.5. Yeah. Again, it's a solid beer. It needs to find its niche. And actually, I think if you go to a lot of Baltimore area ballparks, I'm pretty sure that you could probably find this in a lot of the establishments, like, you know, Camden Yards where the Orioles play, and probably RFK Stadium that's in Washington, and you know, whatever.
So you're a big fan of having the craft classics at the ballpark?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I want to see all three of these on tap at all the ballparks across the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Craft classics. We got to pitch it.
There you go.
Let's pitch it to the MLB.
3.5.
I see what you did there. I'm a big fan of puns.
Mike, what do you think?
I have to say that I enjoyed sipping on this time around than the last time I remember drinking this beer. I love the 90. The 60 was always
is
a
awesome.
Little,
I love it.
The 60 for me compared to the 90 was just, it was drier, a little more bitter, and I didn't have that the malt balance that I liked in the 90, and the 90 had the juicier kind of hoppiness that I liked.
There's something that happens when you go to a double. There's just something that happens.
Yeah.
You know, something changes, and it just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like going to Neverland, man.
Yeah.
It's worlds apart.
Something changes when you get to a double.
Yeah.
Tony's just like, shut up. I want to go to bed.
But I'll have to say, sitting down trying this tonight, I really, really enjoyed it, and I am going to match the Sierra Nevada with a 4.
Nice.
I'm rating this on my experience tonight, because I would definitely rate the 90 higher than the 60, but
yep.
Maybe I only give the 90 a 4. I don't know, but it doesn't really matter because it's tonight. What about the present? Thank you.
This is tonight. I think I'm with you, Mike, on that. I'm going to go 4 pints also with the 60 minute. And one thing I will recommend to people, because I went through a whole case of this. I bought it at Costco a while back when we were talking about doing the 60 minute. And I was like, oh, here it is. Let me get a whole case of it. I went through the whole thing and then I saved one. And so I've been saving it for a couple weeks. I would recommend people let it warm up. I think when it warms up, it really starts to, I don't know, I'm warming it up now, like having the last few sips of the glass, it's really nice. It's
nice.
It's like smooth and it's sweet and it's kind of, you know, it's creamy and it's still hoppy, but it's not bitter. And it's just, I don't know, it's really nice when you let it warm up. So nice. That's why I'm going with the 4. Because going through the rest of the case, I think I cracked him and had him a little too soon, cold out of the fridge. And I remember going through it going, yeah, this is okay. This is, this is all right. I got a whole case of this. I drank them all, of course. But I was like, yeah, this is okay. But no, for sure, you gotta let it kind of rest, warm up a little bit, sip it slowly, and it's nice. 4 pints.
Nice. Cool. Excellent. All right. Shout
out. Believe it or not.
Let's do one shout out.
Big shout out.
The Lucas Mello 20.
Stay P.
That's right.
Or stay P.
Stay P. In the house. And whoever that Brazilian guy was that commented earlier tonight.
Portuguese Brazilian guy, yeah.
Lucas Mello 20. Or Lucas Mello 20. He said, como assim mano não to entendendo nada. Which is?
You speak Tony? Portuguese? Oh, I don't have it up.
Oh, okay. Damn.
Something about not knowing something.
Something about not knowing what you're talking about, or you guys are a bunch of wankers.
Wankers.
Bunch of effing wankers. So we've managed to upset the Brazilian Portuguese and the, what was it, Australia? The guy? Or? I don't know. He called us wankers. So he's either Australian or he's British. Okay.
Just a reminder to all of our listeners, this is your show. We're just drinking
in it. We're still talking in it.
We're still talking in it.
Cheers.
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 Oh. Clang, clang, clang.
Biggity clang, clang. Check
Good
us
show,
out.
Guys.
BeerCoastersPodcast.com. See ya.
Those hipsters are pretty slim, trim. You can say DACA, it's all right. It's an East Coast beer. You can say DACA. Wow. What is wrong with these people?
You know, tickle the right parts of my tongue.